We're going to look, there are two main scriptures today. The first one is in Romans, the second one is in John. Those are two major scriptures for a very, very brief discourse this morning. So, Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 5. The word of the Lord says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit." Can you see that? Now, we are looking at the topic, how do we stay filled with the Holy Spirit? After that, we are born again. The Holy Spirit, it takes residence within us. It is called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is why Paul says, "He who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to God." He who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. All right? Now, after that we are born again, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's an indwelling, there's a filling, or infilling as it were. Right? Another terminology that is used in the Bible is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Baptism is symbology, is symbolical. It's an allegory. All right? That means to be literally, spiritually immersed into the Holy Spirit. Having the fullness, having the overflow of the Holy Spirit. We have a beautiful picture of that at the birth of the New Testament church, at the birth of the New Covenant church, right? We have an example of that when the Holy Spirit, He came upon them, all right? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were so full, they began to overflow through their mouth by speaking in other tongues, all right? In other areas, people, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, they began to prophesy. That's an amazing thing, beginning to prophesy. Prophecy is not to say, "Who's your name?" Prophecy is not to say how old you are for the person to tell. That's not prophecy. Prophecy is God speaking through that person right there and then, real-time message. All right? Now, prophecy is the mind of God. Prophecy is the will of God. Prophecy is the word of God. Now, that is prophecy. Now, people were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to prophesy. That means the Lord began to speak through them. All right? That means the Holy Spirit, after the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit began to vocalize through them. Can you see that? Holy Spirit began to vocalize, to verbalize through them. Now, as they were speaking, it was not them speaking, but it was God Himself, the Holy Spirit, using their voice as an instrument, using their instrumentality. Listen, friends, in that sense, after that, you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak with other tongues, all right? The Spirit of the Lord speaking through you, or you prophesy, it is God who use, you're becoming an instrumentality. That means it's not you, it's got nothing to do with you. The speaking that is immediately subsequent to the baptism, Holy Spirit, He vocalizes, He begins to speak through you. That's why when they were filled, they began to speak. This is the thing that Jesus died for us, all right? He redeemed us. We are no longer ourselves. We do not belong to ourselves. This is why the Bible says our bodies are no longer ours. Our bodies don't belong to us, all right? As far as I know, my voice is my body. It's part of my body. You see, my body doesn't belong to me anymore when I'm in Christ. That means Holy Spirit, He can manifest Himself through me, in me, by me, as and when He wants to. And how does He do that? Because now I fully belong to Him. I don't belong to myself anymore. I don't belong to anyone. You see, who must I say this? This is the reason that Paul was saying, "How I desire that all of you would be just as I am." Why? Because he was a vessel fully available to the Holy Spirit 24/7. He says, I desire that all of you would be just as I am, that you would be single as I am. Because single as I am, I don't have child responsibility. I don't have family responsibility. I don't have spouse responsibility. I am fully dedicated, available to the use by the Holy Spirit. That means if Holy Spirit tells me now to pack my bags and leave, I will just pack my bags and leave. I will not have any excuse. What is the point? We are trying to underscore the fact that after that we are born again, we don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him fully. How do we stay full? According to the scripture, it says, for they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they do mind the things of the Holy Spirit. Now, for us to maintain and to remain in the state in the which we have received the baptism, the infilling with the Holy Spirit, we ought to be minding, we ought to be mindful of the things of the Spirit. We must set our minds on the things of the Holy Spirit. That means we must set our minds, we must be mindful of the things that the Holy Spirit wants. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? In order for us to remain in that state, to continue in that state, to abide in that state, where a believer has received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and please, not every believer has received the infilling with the Holy Spirit. Not every believer has received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And there is no shame in it. If you haven't received it, we are still a child of God. It is something that you need to desire, to long, and to yearn for, to ask the Lord to give. We look at the conditionality last Sunday. There is nothing wrong. We need to set our minds on the Holy Spirit, set our minds on the things of the Holy Spirit. That means setting our minds on what He wants. Now, please do notice, friends, that what I want is not necessarily what He wants. What I want can, may not be, could, might not be what He wants. And that's a very critical and important point right there. Even though I'm born again, I have the Spirit of the Lord resident within me. It does not necessarily mean that everything that I want is what He wants. No. And this is what He's trying to tell us in this scripture. For us to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, we ought to agree with Him. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? We ought to agree with the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit. We ought to obey. To stay filled with the Holy Spirit, we ought to obey the Holy Spirit. We ought to flow with the Holy Spirit. We ought to go where Holy Spirit goes. We ought to go where He leads. Can you see the life? A lot of us, we desire the infilling with the Holy Spirit, but we also equally need to understand the kind of life that is expected of us to live once we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Once we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, there is a Holy Spirit life. The moment you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you can no longer live as you please. There is a Holy Spirit life. We go where He goes, all right? We go where He leads. We obey Him. We flow with the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a life of a believer that is baptized with the Holy Spirit. A believer who has had the Spirit of the Lord poured out on them. This scripture is so beautifully illustrated in John chapter number 3, which is our second key scripture for the day. John chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Church, there is a life. There is a life. After that, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. There is something that we began to speak about, but we just touch on it. There is a life that needs to be lived. After that, the Spirit of the Lord has been poured out on us, has been poured out on our lives. All right? Now, this answers in part what took place with Ananias and Sapphira. Okay? There is a life. They did not realize that now that they are baptized with the Holy Spirit, there is a particular life that they ought to live, and they missed the boat altogether. You cannot be baptized with the Holy Spirit and begin to live as you please and begin to live as you want and begin to do what you want and begin to go where you want with whomever that you want. No. That we do that and we get away with that because we are not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit. As Christians, as believers, we still live as we please to an extent. We still do what we want to an extent. We still go where we want to an extent, with whomever we want to an extent. And we still get away with it to an extent. Why is that? Because we have not yet received the baptism. The moment we receive the baptism, it becomes a different case altogether. What does it mean? Here's another illustration. Here's another allegory. To be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that means we come under a full influence of the Holy Spirit. Remember, to be immersed, to be baptized, is to be immersed fully. Now, when we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that experience submerges us, subjects us to the full influence of the Holy Spirit. That means now we are told, go left, go right, sit down, stand up, and it's easy because we have are fully under his influence. It's a beautiful experience. Nothing is hard anymore. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, obedience to God is easy. Obedience to the word is easy. Why? It's no longer you doing it. You are under the influence. The power that we come under enables us, now begins to lead us, begins to tell us, begins to instruct us, begins to command us, telling us what to do, when to do, how to do, etc., etc. Is somebody listening to me? It may still be not that easy yet for us to obey the word of God, for us to obey God. It may still not be easy yet for us to live as the scripture says. It may still not be easy anymore. We are lacking the power. We are lacking the enablement. We are lacking the ability to be able to live according to righteousness. But when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, we receive the power to live as God wants. We receive the power to obey. So it's no longer me obeying, but it's the power that I'm under, the influence that I'm under, causes me to do. It's a beautiful experience. It's a wonderful experience. John chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Now the Bible says, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Speaking to that man, Nicodemus. Now it says, the wind blows where it listeth, where it wishes. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from. And you can't tell whither it goes either. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he goes where he wishes. The Holy Spirit, he does what he chooses. Can you see that? He goes where he wishes. He does what he chooses. So is everyone who is born again. That one, he goes where the Spirit wishes and does what the Spirit chooses. Ah, come on. The Spirit of the Lord, he goes where he wishes and he does what he chooses. Now equally, so is everyone who's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That person goes not where they wish, but where the Spirit wishes. That person, they do not what they choose, but what the Spirit of the Lord chooses. It's right there in the scriptures. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Now here's the thing. So is everyone. The day you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, number one, you will not understand yourself from that day. Number two, no one under the sun, on the face of the earth, will understand you beginning from that day. Now you still understand yourself. You have not received this blessing. Now people still understand you because you have not received this blessing. Now people can still predict what you're going to do next because they have not received this. When you receive this, they might wake up in the morning, we are gone. Am I talking to somebody? When you receive this, they might wake up in the morning and you are gone. They get a text message after a day or two, you tell them, I'm in Canada. They're like, what? Yes. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You're under an influence. You're under an influence, church. It's amazing. No one can predict you. You cannot predict yourself either. No one can understand you. You cannot understand yourself either. All right? No, you cannot. This is why the Bible says this is the person who's under the influence of the Holy Spirit, who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Bible says, and this one judges all things, and yet they themselves can be judged by nobody. Now, that is a believer who has received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That believer judges everything, but that believer can be judged by no one. It's got nothing to do with them. They've received the fullness, the overflow. There is a power, there is an influence that has taken over. It takes over them. Hey, when you are baptized in water, do you know what happens? The water takes full control of you. You can't even breathe. You are at the mercy of the water. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you can't do nothing. Now you are at the mercy of the Holy Spirit. Just as when you are baptized into water, when you are submerged, fully submerged, not sprinkled with water from a cup or from a bowl. When you are fully submerged, you cannot even breathe. Right there, you are under the mercy. And guess what? If they keep you there long enough, you will die. Oh, come on, come on. Now, this is what happens when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. You die. You die. If they keep you underwater, fully submerged underwater, you cannot breathe. And if they keep you there long enough, you die. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, die there. The self dies there. The flesh dies there. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they do mind the things of the Spirit. Baptism is an allegory, symbology. It means immersion, submersion, to be fully, put fully. That there is not even a single part of you that is not underwater. Once we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we come fully under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That is why once you are there, the self dies. Once you are there, the self dies. It's got nothing to do with you. This is what I'm telling you. They're struggling to do the word, struggling to do what God wants. No, no, no. It ends with the baptism with the Holy Spirit. It ends. They're struggling to do what the word of God says. It ends. All right? They're struggling with the flesh. It ends with the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, because we come fully under his influence, we begin to want the thing that he wants. I said we begin to want the things that he wants. We begin to be pleased by the things that pleases him. We begin to be hurt by the things that hurt him. Why? The influence. We have come fully under the influence. And this is the express will of God for his children. This is one of the things that Jesus hanged on the cross for, that we would enjoy them, that we would partake of them, the unsearchable riches. The unsearchable riches. When you as human after that we are born again, you cease to exist completely. An alien power. A power that is alien. A power that is strange to the natural, physical, temporal world. The power takes over. Now you cease to exist as human, as you knew yourself. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord, not only does He want us to receive that, but He wants us to stay there. He wants us to stay like that. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like I say, forgiveness becomes your second nature. It's your second nature. To love becomes, maybe not even second nature, it becomes your first nature. Now you can never keep a grudge. You can never have a grudge. Bitterness can never, any negativity, it can come to you, but it cannot stay on you. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Am I talking to somebody? Read what the Bible says. Read what the Bible says. When Stephen received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God says, when they were stoning him, murdering him, this is a man who's being murdered. What comes out of his mouth is what the man is full of. There is no negativity that can come out of a man who is baptized with the Holy Spirit. Even at the point of him being killed, he says, Father, forgive them. Lord, forgive them. How do you say that? That's humanly, absolutely, utterly impossible. But how was it possible for Stephen? The baptism. Once you are baptized, negativity cannot come out of you. It can come to you, but it cannot stay on you. You'll forgive people. This is why people are saying, when people are slapping me on the one cheek, must I give them the other? Once you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you'll understand what that means. Now it won't make sense even when someone tries to, you cannot explain that to someone who's not baptized with the Holy Spirit. A lot of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ said and began to preach about, and that the apostles and that men and women of God filled with the Holy Spirit began to preach subsequently after that, there are a lot of things that we will never come to understand until we are baptized with the Holy Ghost. What does the Bible say? It says, Stephen, full of wisdom, full of wisdom. This is not wisdom of reading books. That's supernatural ability that is given. There is supernatural ability to be given wisdom and to be given understanding. That becomes a portion of one baptized with the Holy Spirit. These are things that come with being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, church. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And this is why a lot of us believers, we don't desire, we don't seek after this blessing, because we barely understand it. We barely understand it. God is just trying not to be unfair. But honestly, once baptized with the Holy Spirit, you would know everything before you even see it or hear about it. You would literally go and sit in an exam room without having ever attended one single class. You would go and write masters without sitting under any lecture whatsoever. But God is not allowing it, because it would really be unfair. Once baptized with the Holy Spirit, because now we are fully under the influence, you can tell people, please don't go this side. 32 minutes from now, this is what is going to happen, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not this charlatanism. No. Not this chicanery. No. Not that. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? Oh, mandoshke. Once you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, there is no one who can prophesy to you. No one can prophesy to you. Because you will prophesy to them. If it doesn't come from God, you'll tell them. And now begin to tell them they're in Dabas. You say, you were trying to prophesy me. Now God says, it shows you they're in Dabas. Now you tell them they're in Dabas to save them for their salvation. Why are Christians running around for the word from God? Running around for prophecy? Because they are not baptized with the Holy Spirit. There is something absolutely powerful. The Lord said through the mouth of Pastor KB, it wasn't Pastor KB, during the week. The Lord said through his mouth, the deliverance that you Christians are seeking for is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. He said it during the week, it was not him. This deliverance you Christians are running after, the deliverance that you really want, you need, is the baptism. Amen. Can I say this? You can never deliver any demon from one baptized with the Holy Spirit. What is Holy Spirit? To come fully under the influence, to be fully submerged. A demon can never. Because if anything, the person baptized with the Holy Spirit, when you try to deliver them, they'll start delivering you. The person baptized with the Holy Ghost, when you try to deliver them. In fact, before you start saying, you fall. It's not them. They might not even be aware that you are trying to deliver them. They will, you get delivered. Hayabusha. Kirdala Sandi. Ligro Jondo Bar de Kiasa. Leshto Urdo Balazit. Here's the thing, Amro Alade. Listen, friends. Listen, friends. Hey. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So what we really need to go after is the baptism, the infilling, because that is the fullness. This is why Paul says we know in part, we prophesy in part, but we do not receive the baptism in part. In fullness. How do we stay filled with the Holy Spirit? By paying attention to what He wants, by going where He wants, by doing what He wants, with whom He wants us to do that with. How do we stay filled with the Holy Spirit? By paying attention to what the Holy Spirit wants, by going where the Holy Spirit wants, by doing what the Holy Spirit wants, and also with who He wants us to do it. With who He wants us to go with. And of course, and how He wants it. I'm going to use known examples in the Bible, known scriptures, for the sake of our understanding to demonstrate this point. Acts chapter number 13, 1 to 4. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said to them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Work, what He wanted them to do. What He wanted them to do. What does the Holy Spirit want you to do? Or we choose what we want to do and then we say, the Holy Spirit, this is what He wants me to do. Or we have heard from some pastor. We have heard from some prophet. We have heard from some apostle. We have heard from someone to say, this is what the Lord wants you to do. But did he tell you that? Has the Lord confirmed that with you? And this is why a lot many of us, we are suffering and struggling unnecessarily, because instead of having a word from God, we have heard word of man that said it was from God. But has God confirmed it to you? What we are doing now, is it's what the Lord wants you to do? Can you see that? It was very clear here. The Holy Spirit said to them, separate for me these men for the work. Verse number 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. Now listen to verse number 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, sent forth, they went where the Holy Spirit wanted them to go. They did what he wanted them to do, not what they wanted to do. And they went where he wanted them to go, not where they wanted to go. Are you going where he wants you to go? We are moving from church to church. Is that what he wants? Did he tell you? Did he tell you? This is why some Christians, they'll be buried 6 feet underground and never having tasted the baptism with the Holy Spirit. There are things that are fundamentals of Christianity that they do not understand. They do not understand. Can you see that, friends? And this is how we stay filled with the Holy Spirit, by going where he wants. The Bible says, and they being sent. Who has sent you? Who has sent you? We are going everywhere but nowhere. But the question is this, who has sent you? All right? We stay filled by going where he wants us to go and by doing what he wants us to do. And not only doing what he wants us to do, but with whom he wants us to do. What did the Holy Spirit say? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. The thing that you say God has told you to do, who are you doing with? The people that, or the person you are doing that with, is it the person that God, the Holy Spirit, has given them? He said, he mentions them by name. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Come on. Come on. Some of us, we go into business with wrong people. It could really be the business that God wants you to go to, the Holy Spirit wants you to go to, but we are bringing people, we are inviting, we are bringing with us people that God has not told us to bring. Now, when things go south very quickly, we begin to cry out to God and blame God for it. And you say, Lord, but you said, no, but did God say, bring Lot along with you? Separate me, who? And? This is how we stay filled with the Holy Spirit. This is why once you have baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot choose the person you want to marry. For an example, because there's a who with God. God knows you by name. If God wants me to marry you, I will know it. But if I want to choose to marry you, no problem, I will do that. You get what I'm saying? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. Being sent, all right? Going where Holy Spirit wants, not where they wanted to go. It was wonderful in Jerusalem. It was cozy. They would never have wanted. I mean, there was a fellowship of believers in Jerusalem. They were praying and they were fasting. They were ministering unto the Lord. It was really wonderful. Now they are separated from the comfort. Now they are going where they don't want to go. And they are going to do what they may not even want to do. And God paired them together. Saul and Barnabas may not have preferred to work together. But you see, once under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it's not about your preference. You people of God are sitting here. There are people that you would never want to work with, although we are both Christians. There are people you don't see eye to eye with. It's no problem. You can continue like that because you are not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And for as long as we are not under the influence of the Holy Spirit, our lives are extremely limited and extremely frustrating. Extremely frustrating. Example number 2, Acts chapter number 10, verses 19 and 20. Now the Bible says, while Peter thought on the vision, remember Peter came under a trance, all right? So now while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, who was Peter? Peter was one who had received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now the Spirit of the Lord said to him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them. Oh my goodness, and go again. To stay filled with the Holy Spirit, you go where he wants, not where you want. Now he is told to go. Am I talking to the church? Yes. You don't up and leave. No. Once you are... You've come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You are told where to go. You don't just go. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. Listen, for I have sent them. I have sent them. All right? He was told where to go. And of course, he may not have wanted to go. And there's no way Peter wanted to go. And number one, these men that were sent were not Jews. These men that were sent were Gentiles. And Jews at this point, even these that are born again, they never wanted to do anything, because at that time, the church was just newly born. They did not really have the full revelation of the new covenant church. The Spirit of the Lord says, don't doubt. Why? Because these are Gentiles, and you Jews, you don't keep company with Gentiles. This is why he says, I have sent them, go with them, do not doubt. It's me who sent them. The Holy Spirit had to convince him and to give him reassurance. Now, this is the only reason why Peter went. Can you see that? He chose the company for him. You see, there's a who. Go with them. There are three of them. They are downstairs, are waiting for you. Not four of them, three of them. And they've come, they've been sent to you from Cornelius. Do we see that, church? To stay filled with the Holy Spirit, we ought to obey him. Peter had to obey him, and he did obey him. It's easy to obey the Holy Spirit once filled with the Holy Spirit. It is no biggie. It's not a challenge. There's no problem whatsoever. It comes supernaturally natural out of us. We ought to obey him, to want what he wants, to go where he wants, to do what he wants rather, to go where he wants and how he wants, with who he wants. This was the case right here. Example number three, Acts chapter number 8, verses 29 and 30. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, remember Philip? And who was Philip? One who had received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. This is key, that we look at this thing this way. Not so long ago, I said to my wife, one of the biggest mistakes that we make in church, we are telling people to do things that they have no ability to do them. One, because some of them, they may be Christians, but they are not really born again. And number two, we're wanting them to do things that only the power of the Holy Spirit can enable them to do. And some of them are not even filled with the Holy Spirit. I said to her, for an example, women in the church, majority have issues with submission. And we keep telling them about submission. But these people are not filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? And some of them are not even born again, although they think that they are born again. That's why they're having issues with submission, because they don't understand the things of the Holy Spirit. These people are lacking understanding, and we must stop telling them to submit, because we are speaking submission to wrong people. Because the right person, the things of the Holy Spirit are a joy to that one. It is easy to... Oh, James says, it is not cumbersome. The moment of the Spirit of the Lord living inside you, it is not cumbersome to obey the Lord. It is a joy. How were the disciples killed for Jesus? To die for him became a joy to them. To suffer for him became a joy to them. Notice, not even a single one of them ran away from the pain, the torture, the hurt, and the everything. Where did that joy come from? And this, not only the disciples, but we've been told of believers, tortured believers, that while they were taken to be killed, some of them, they were even singing. Those who saw them, eyewitnesses, they said, "We have never seen such a joy in a person going to be killed." Now you see, the Holy Spirit makes all the difference. As a wife, you will always struggle with submission because that is your spirit deficiency. As a husband, you will always struggle with loving your wife because that's your spirit deficiency. A man baptized with the Holy Spirit, they know how to take care of a woman. It's supernatural ability given to them to take care of their woman, by the way. Their woman. And so is a woman who's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. They obey their husbands without them being aware they're obeying him. They respect their husband without them being aware that they're respecting him. They submit themselves to their husbands without themselves being aware that now I'm submitting myself. Why? Because it comes out of them. The same thing with children. Once our children, because remember, baptism with the Holy Spirit has got no age. Once our children are baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's going to become part of who they are, to be obedient to parents, to be obedient to elders, to be obedient to authority. See that? Holy Spirit. Key. Right there. Oh, glory to God. I haven't lost anyone yet. Acts chapter number 8, verses 29 and 30. I was talking about Philip, right? Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" "Sir, do you understand what you are reading?" Now, this is Philip, a man who understood how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord told him where to go and what to do. Can you see that? Go near to him. Go near to him. Told him where to go and what to do. And I love this part. The Bible says, and Philip ran. Imagine when God, the Holy Spirit, tells you what to do and you run. You run. God did not tell Philip to run. Holy Spirit did not tell Philip to run. This is what I'm telling you. Once you come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you become another man, you become another woman. You won't even understand yourself. Spirit of the Lord did not tell the man to run. But the man heard the word of God, he began to run. How many of us, we are told the word of God, but we hesitate even? Run, the Bible says, and Philip ran thither to him. Ran, this is prompt, immediate, willing, ready obedience. When a man has been baptized with the Holy Spirit, they've got prompt, immediate, willing, ready obedience. He ran. He was eager. He was zealous. He was fervent. He was on fire for the Holy Spirit. You see, once you have the baptism with the Holy Spirit, you are zealous for him. You are eager for him. You are on fire. Are we on fire for the Holy Spirit? One with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is on fire, is fired up. And they stay fired up. They stay fired up. When the Lord says something, they won't debate. He ran, they run. The moment the Lord speaks, they run. The moment the Lord speaks, they run. They understand the urgency, the immediacy, the emergency in the spirit. All right? Now, unless we come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, for us, everything is as usual. But not one who's under the influence. You see how this man stay filled. The Lord says one thing, he begins to run. Run. He runs with it. Prophet Habakkuk, let him who reads run, run. Agents in the spirit. There's agency, there's promptness. Run, be on fire, be set on fire. When we receive the word of God, run with it. Run. Some of us will receive the word of God. When is the pastor finishing? When is the pastor finishing? But once under the influence, Lily. Once under the influence. Our obedience is prompt. Prompt. Our submission is prompt. Everything becomes prompt. Anything that has got to do with God becomes prompt. After the flesh, they set their minds after the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, they set their minds on the things of the spirit. Now everything to them becomes prompt, becomes urgent, becomes eager. They are enthusiastic. They are on fire. Fire. When there's prayer meeting called, fire. When there's a gathering of the church, fire. All right? When church starts at 8, they are here from 6 o'clock, fire. They're on fire for God. This is the revival that we're talking about. On fire. Church starts at 8, people are here by 5 o'clock in the morning. What is going on? That's when revival is hit. On fire. Are we on fire for God? Philip was. This is why God could use one man. Because it was on fire, he used one man to convert the entire city. To convert the entire city. Luke chapter number 4, verses 1 and 14. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Can you see that? And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from Jordan and he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. You see how easy it is to be led when you have received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. When it says Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. You see, full. Now, he is led where he does not want to go, but where the Spirit wants him to go. Nobody wants to be led into the wilderness. Am I talking to somebody? And this is a thing for some of us. After you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, God subjects you into a wilderness. Holy Spirit comes upon you. Oh, shakababa. Oh, my goodness. You begin to see things. Oh, what is happening? The next thing, straight into the wilderness. And you know what God does? He puts a big padlock. God takes the key right at the bottom of the Indian Ocean. No matter how much you try to come out, subjected into the wilderness, full of the Holy Spirit. This is when people start to talk. Is he called? He's not called. Why is the church not growing? Why are the people leaving? When you are full of the Spirit, you can see through the nincompoopery. And because you are full of love, you say, Lord, have mercy on them. Lord, forgive the blind, for they see not, O Lord. Wilderness, full of the Holy Ghost. When you say right things, people confirm. When you say things before they happen, boom, they happen. But guess what? The church is not growing. People leave. God is looking at them. God is doing this to his beard. Wilderness. Whoa! Am I talking to somebody? And wilderness is a joy to the person full of the Holy Spirit. Wilderness is a joy. It is a joy to the person full of the Holy Ghost. While others are feeling sorry for you, like, I'm feeling sorry for you. I'm good here. I'm good here. I'm in the wilderness, but I'm good here. Oh, come on, church. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the Sandton city of Johannesburg. Because that's where we want to go. Want to hit tongues. Sandton city and all the people with money. I want to pray for their family members and their healed. And the people say, here's R1 million. Then I'm full of the Holy Spirit. You see how much we don't know God? We put ourselves on social media, let some rich people or celebrities notice us. Perhaps the celebrity might come, then people will flock. And the next thing, Range Rover Sport. Oh, of course, my daughter, come on. Oh, glory to God. Now, verse number 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. He returned in power, full of the Holy Spirit and led. Please, full of the Holy Spirit and led. Full. This is what I was saying. We are telling people to be led by the Holy Spirit, but they are empty of the Holy Spirit. It will not happen. Full of the Holy Spirit and led. And returned, after being full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, returned in power. The secret of power with God, the secret of power with God is to remain in the Holy Spirit. The secret of power with God is to remain in the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is the secret of power with God. Remain in the Holy Spirit and be led by Him. Remain in the Holy Spirit and be led by Him. It might be painful at times, but the pain brings so much joy. It makes no sense. You will derive so much joy from pain. Why? Because that is the leading of the Holy Spirit. I say that is the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. For some of us Christians who are chasing after fame, this is how fame comes. God gives fame. Being full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, returning in power, now fame. Now, a lot of men of us, we are looking for fame without the wilderness. We are looking for fame without the Holy Spirit. We are looking for fame without obedience to the Holy Spirit. Now we try until we get very tired. We try to use the gifts that God has given us for to get fame. We get none. Here is an answer to a lot of you that are sitting here, children of God. Here's an answer for you. Fame comes from God. You've been searching for it. It evaded you and you got so frustrated. And right now you have totally, completely given up. Now you are right where God wants you to be. No fame for you. No. You need to acquaint yourself. You need to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit. God will never give you fame until you're acquainted with the Spirit. Never. God will never use you until you're acquainted with the Spirit. Never. God will not make you rich until you're acquainted with the Spirit. Never. Acquainted with the Spirit. Are we all reading the same Bible? It's right there. The secret of power and victory. And the secret of power and victory for all God's people and believers in Christ. The secret of power and victory for all God's people and believers in Christ. Since the dawn of time, this is the secret of power and victory. This is it. Submission to the Holy Spirit. Obedience to the Holy Spirit. Leading of the Holy Spirit. This is the secret of power and victory. Submission to the Holy Spirit. Obedience to the Holy Spirit. Leading. All these men, the three examples that we gave here, they follow the same pattern. Including our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself followed exactly the same pattern. Submission to the Holy Spirit, obedience to the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, boom! Power and victory. Power and victory. When we submit ourselves to him, he fills us with power and he leads us to victory. When we submit ourselves to Him, He fills us with power. He leads us to victory. Submit your marriage to God. He will make it successful. Submit your relationship to God. He will make it successful. Submit your children to God. He will make them successful. Submit your business to God. He will make it successful. Submit your studies to God. He will make you successful. Submit your career to God. He will make you very successfully career-wise. But submit, leave it. Leave it. Leave it. We are who are in business because we are educated. We give God projections. We don't go on our knees and ask for His projections. We give God projections. This year, the first week, the first month, planned out projection from January to December, from the quarter one, quarter two, right up to quarter four, projections. We're giving God projections. Instead of going down on our knees and wait on Him and say, Father, give me the projections. Give me the projections. What do you want of me? What do you desire of me? The 12 months were given by God. So we can't think we are clever. The quarters of the year were given by God. That's why there are four seasons. It's for us to go on Him and say, Lord, here I am. Submission. I say submission, church. Oh, hallelujah.